Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. Pay off some credit card debt or put some money towards that new bathroom or kitchen you've always wanted. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR 4.23%. That's right, 3.99%. While we can't predict what will happen in the future, we do know that rates have dropped and now is the time to save money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. To learn how refinancing now may be the right mortgage solution for you. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to see this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
Memphis and surrounding suburbs, please make your plans to join Mayor Lee Harris for this year's State of the County Address, taking place at Collierville High School on Friday, February 21st. Doors will open at 3 p.m. See you there.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey. Who that? Man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Yes, we are live on this President's Day, February 7th and very 17th, and very happy to be here. Not very happy to watch another Tigers loss. Seemed like another missed opportunity. John Martin against UConn this weekend. Memphis goes down 64-61, and now it's, well, they had, John, three straight losses for this Memphis team, and it feels like if they were already back into a corner, then my gosh, there ain't much room to move right now for this Memphis team. That, in terms of an at-large berth, John, this NCAA tournament, that's looking bleak.
Yeah,
if there's any light at all for that.
0-2 week, man. Hard to overcome at this point.
I saw you still holding that hope though in your tweet that says there's some more opportunities for quad one. Look at you, glass half full, man. Over the weekend,
no.
It was a different John, I thought, Twitter.
No. That was a theoretical John.
Oh,
that was not a glass half full John.
I thought you were saying there's possibility still.
There. Well, look, if Memphis sweeps Houston and beats SMU on the road and beats Wichita State, they're in the tournament. Those things are true. If they sweep Houston and they beat SMU on the road and they beat Wichita State at home, they're going to be in the tournament.
Houston lost over the weekend. SMU.
They did to SMU. So
but
Memphis
they'll still be a quad. So, that'd still be a quad one. So, both of those, right?
Right.
Saying.
But let me go ahead
that
and just.
That was at SMU.
And thank you for you're doing a little bit of housekeeping today.
I'm big on the germs, man. Yeah. I mean, because it's going around. Oh, I saw this, Brad doing it. My whole house right now is in a quarantine.
Well, can you quarantine this Memphis sick. Basketball team?
Well, we might need to.
Because they've got the L virus. That's what's going around in the locker room over there. They just can't shake the L virus. So I would have come up with a better name, but I'm on the spot here, okay? But anyway,
You know, some folks would just say, chalk it up. It's okay. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, again.
It's okay. Gonna be just fine.
Moses.
Not worried about a thing.
I like it, man. You're upbeat on this particular President's Day. You're observing. I love it. But no, I'm more of a that was more of a theoretical tweet, Jason, than anything else. That was just hey, there are chances. There are things they can do.
Well, they're running out of those.
They are, and to let those two this week slip away, two games that I mean, you can argue Memphis should have won, right, once they started, once
definitely,
they began.
Definitely could have.
Yeah.
Could make an argument, John, should have. I mean, again, those are tough places to win.
For
but,
sure.
But you had your opportunity.
Well,
that,
once the—
That's what's terrible. And look, we said at large, you need to split this week. Like, that doesn't change now. Yes, the opportunity is still there to get some quad ones, but we said it before the week started. If you're going to be at large, you need to go out and steal one of these on the road. And you come up short, unfortunately. You had both opportunities. And look, Precious Achiuwa, for stretches of both games, super dominant. And that's why, again, it's, you know, to have these and sort of ripped out of you let fall out of your own hands rather than what the other team's doing. Yeah, it's unfortunate, man, because I think you had an opportunity to win both games.
Yeah, so anyway.
Could have won them both.
You have two quad one opportunities slip through your fingers this week, and it's going to be tough to get that ground back. Again, not impossible, but unlikely. I mean, Memphis, if SMU's out here beating Houston, you're not going to win at SMU. I mean, that's
a real team over there.
It is. It absolutely is. So anyway, we will get into all of that today on the show. Pete Thamer wrote a column. That was something.
I don't think enough people are talking about this, Colin.
That was something. So we'll get into that here in just a minute. George Sedano is going to join us at 11:25. We will talk to him about the All-Star game. You know, you know how I feel, Jason, about All-Star weekend. You know how I feel about All-Star game. But I was compelled last night. I was absolutely compelled by that game last night. I mean, because it was like the primal sort of, this is how you play basketball when you're an average person. You play to a number, and it's intense, and you call fouls.
Nasty out there. Yeah,
exactly. Right. And so, like, for me, I'm speaking of the fourth quarter, obviously. Like, and I think for a lot of us, if you ever played the game, like, just recreationally, you related to that, right? Like, you didn't play organized basketball because, you know, you were probably too good for that. So you had to sort of relegate yourself to come down with the hoi polloi, play a little recreational style, like me. Mm-hmm. And so I related to that, and the intensity was off the charts, man. It was. I mean, they were challenging calls. They were arguing. I mean,
Kyle Lowry out there trying to take charges, now, flopping around.
No doubt. Now, I got some questions as to the Team Giannis lineup. I mean, they're giving Kemba a lot of run. Kyle Lowry, a lot of run there late in the game. Not sure if that was their best lineup, but again, that's another conversation for a different
Giannis
day.
Giannis wanted to play his dogs. That's what he said. I'm playing out here with the dogs.
Well, and
the guys that get rooted against.
And you came up with the fleas.
Dogs.
And you came up with the fleas, didn't you?
Okay, Mr. Blob. We see whose team you are. You wearing a Team LeBron shirt like them kids.
Well, I told you Team Giannis' team, the team he drafted, was going to lose from the jump.
And he wasn't trying to pick the guys in the in crowd.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
he wanted the dogs.
He picked the losers.
I respect that a little bit.
Oh, but do you agree that it was a fantastic All-Star game?
It was unbelievable, and I take it all the way back to Friday in the Rising Stars Challenge that, John, you know, I had the googly eyes for ever since last week.
Yep.
It was fantastic. You saw Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, all of that. We'll get to all that, but yes, John, to your point about the end of that game, look, you had refs arguing the call, whether it's a jump ball or I'm going to call a foul. Like, that's how desperate things got there at the end, right at the end.
Yep.
Because, again, it was going to matter so much. Each call mattered so much. I do have a question of whether – you can keep that same level of intensity going, right, with just the Elam ending. How much of this was, hey, guys want to win that first Kobe MVP award?
Yes.
So you got to, I mean, Kawhi was locked in. Giannis was locked in. LeBron was locked in. Like, can you keep that going for good? I certainly hope that's the case. But it clearly worked. The Elam ending here was a good thing, a good addition. I guess Chris Paul had talked him into, we should add this.
Yeah, exactly. So
smart move.
We'll talk to George Sedano from ESPN about all of that, the dunk contest, which was very controversial. Lots to get to with George Sedano at 11:25. Jason Fitz will join us at 1:25, moving some things around today. But he was actually there for Memphis UConn yesterday.
I didn't know that.
We will talk to him.
Good. He had it firsthand.
That's exactly right. What did you think in person of these Memphis basketball Tigers? So, a lot to get to today on your President's Day. Thank you for being here, Jason, and observing with me on President's Day. This is a very special holiday to me, as I am an American, and you are as well.
Happy to be working with you on this day.
Yeah. So anyway, without further ado, Memphis basketball loses again. As you said, that's their third straight loss, 64-61 against UConn. A-Cook? Is it A-Cock or A-Cook?
Careful there. I think it's a cook.
Is that the PC pronunciation?
A cook.
I think it's a cock.
Again, if it's that, you don't even have to say it.
Okay.
Like, we know what you're talking about, but I'm pretty sure it's a
double
cook,
A.
Cook.
Double A. Let's just call him double A.
That's tough. Nothing to joke about what that kid was going through.
Yeah, he goes out in the first
1 minute in.
Yeah, first minute of the game. And he's, I think, one of the best shot blockers in the country. He's going to be a good one. Now, he's not going to be in the AEC. They're moving on to the Big East, but he's going to be a really good player for them. So he goes out first minute of the game. which changes what UConn does defensively, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it changes what they do defensively. So it opens it up a little bit for Memphis. In the end, it's not quite enough. The kid, Booknight, I believe is his name, made some tough shots. I mean, he had, like, one, like, up and under on Isaiah Maurice.
Which that's a freshman, by the way.
Yes, he's a freshman. And then he hit this really tough shot on the other end when he kind of shot fake, steps in, drills a tough one. And he didn't shoot the ball very well. I mean, his percentages weren't good, but he made some timely
6 of 18,
ones.
Yeah. Right. The play where Vital gets him the ball on the break and, he's crashing toward
exactly.
the goal and Precious is there, dunks over.
Yeah,
that's where you
exactly.
kind of felt like, oh, my gosh. And the pass from Christian at that point was goes through the nose of a needle, too. And it's perfect. And
yep.
it's like at that point the crowd jumped. And it feels like, man, everything that can go wrong for this Memphis team, you can almost bank on it doing down the stretch. But, again, John,
right.
Because you get – how much was it? Again, it was another double-double, 16 and 13 from Precious inside. You're in that game. Because Tyler Harris goes 4 of 8 from 3, you're in that game there with an opportunity to win it. And it felt like early on UConn was trying to give it to you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was not a super talented UConn team. And especially to the point of John Make after you lose your 6'8", 6'9", shot blocker a minute in, and he's down, and that's – You saw guys on the sideline looking like the kid was crying, but you saw everybody on the sideline look like it had taken the air out of them. And unfortunately, Memphis couldn't jump on them like you'd hope in a situation like that. You end up tied 25-25 at half.
Yep.
UConn survived it, comes through, and makes the plays down the stretch in the end that we've just seen like a carbon copy.
Yep.
Memphis can't score down the stretch, can't get it inside or get the ball to Precious on the block, mm-hmm. and
yep.
it just kind of unfolds from
yep.
there.
I thought there was one, and maybe I'm nitpicking here, but like there was that you mentioned that play where Christian Vital he basically steals the ball from Lester and then somehow throws it off of him or around him down the court
to hit that pass, and he did.
And Lester was right there, right? Lester was right there, and he, instead of just immediately like running down the court because the whistle had not blown and getting back and trying to prevent a transition basket. He was more interested in complaining to the ref, like, was he not out?
You're going to get that a lot with him. I mean, however you pronounce his last name, he's a senior.
Yeah.
And instead of, he looks to make those plays. But to your point,
Lester
you get a
just
lot of that
stopped
out of
playing.
Team.
Like, Lester, for a minute, yeah. for a hot second, right? He just
yeah.
stopped playing and just sort of gesticulated towards the ref. It's like, yeah, it's a one possession game. Like, the whistle didn't blow. You got to get down the court. Now, that's youth, and that's going to happen. But, like,
again, Lester typically does do those things.
He does.
He makes those, gets down the floor, doesn't do a lot of, a lot of going back and forth on the ref when there's a play to be made, typically this season. But I'm with you. That's what a young team does, even at this stage of the season.
Yeah. So
get caught up in that instead of making winning plays.
So Memphis goes down 64-61.
Let's be real. They couldn't get a rebound. They couldn't buy a defensive rebound. But down the stretch of that game, and again in a game where you lose to Cook, look. I realize Memphis doesn't have a second big and can depend on the rebound.
Right.
And you look up at times and Boogie Ellis is rebounding. Damian Ball I think had 5 in this game. And you say, well, your guards are sticking their nose in there. But there are times, John, when they're out there small, and that's just what it's going to be.
Yep.
I mean, you've got one big out there, and there are times it's Lance and a bunch of small guys. And typically, even if Memphis does box out, they're not going to get the rebound because, again, you don't trust Isaiah Maurice, right?
Yep.
And with Dandridge, it's either on or off. I mean, he still seems to be working his way in. You get some good out of him, and then you get sort of the step back that you'll see from freshman at his stage. He's still playing catch-up.
Yeah, so
it's unfortunate about him. The glass is killing them. The second-chance points are killing them.
Yep, it just is what it is. Memphis goes down 64-61. It's their third straight loss. They're now 500 in the AAC.
Sixth.
They're sixth. They're likely not going to be a top-four seed. Which really just completely pours a cold bucket of water on the whole season, right? Like, if you had any sort of hope left, you knew that you needed to go 1-1 this week for the majority of your dreams to stay alive, right? Like, to get that top four seed. Because if you want to talk yourself into a run in the tournament, you got to have a bye. You don't want to do the 4 games in 4 days thing. I mean, you just don't have the firepower for that. Tough to do. So now Memphis appears to be on the outside looking in. And, man, did Pete Thamel take aim? Pete Thamel happened to be in the building, I guess. I guess he maybe lives in the area because I cannot imagine any other circumstance why you would be at Memphis UConn on a Sunday afternoon. You know what I mean?
It started off as what I thought would be a national take as sort of Penny wanted all the smoke. Well, here it is. But man, and it started as that.
Yeah.
But, John, I thought he dropped a bombshell there in the middle of it, or at least tried to.
Yeah, so he goes
potential
through.
Potential bombshell.
He goes through sort of, you know, all the different criticisms that you would expect. You know, he talks about Penny Hardaway tempting the basketball gods and saying he wants all the smoke and takes a shot about that. Now, keep in mind, sort of Pete Thamel was one of those guys when the Penny Hardaway hire was made, who I believe the term he might have used was Memphis soap opera or something along those lines, like something. So he's never really been a fan of the hire of Penny Hardaway.
That's why I felt like some of this was going to be a little bit of "I told you so" type stuff.
But there is certainly
him and that crew.
An interesting line in this piece that I guess we could touch on and maybe should touch on. But I'll just read from sort of the end of it. For all his celebrity, NBA millions, and bold talk to the establishment, Hardaway finds himself slogging through February like dozens of other college basketball coaches. He's pinned on the wrong side of the bubble trying to keep a roster with just one upperclassman engaged. Quote, "That was a hard pill to swallow." He said of losing Wiseman and Jeffries, "These guys are trying to adjust on the fly, and I think they're doing a hell of a job. That may be relative to their current reality, but certainly not the preseason prognostications. With no recruits committed for 2020 and top assistant Mike Miller lobbying hard for head coaching jobs behind the scenes, there are reasons to be skeptical about the future. But assuming Achiuwa leaves and Jeffries returns, a strong core for next year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." So I think that the sort of nuts and bolts of the piece that you were interested in?
Yes, and then when I spoke of potential bombshell, when I'm speaking of specifically the line that John read, with no recruits committed for 2020 and top assistant Mike Miller lobbying hard for head coaching jobs behind the scenes, that line was just sort of buried in this column. Some folks got that far, and some folks didn't. But I think of all the things written, this was the most interesting thing about it. Because again, the rest of it was sort of "I told you so." You can ask for the smoke if you want to. You can get dealt this hand in college basketball, where guys can leave in some instances, get injured, and you'll be in a position like this. And Penny pretty much was an asked, you know, way he wrote it was an asked for it. The point he makes here, that behind the scenes, Mike Miller is lobbying hard, were the words he used for head coaching job. This is the kind of thing that, again, you almost look for a next line when it's written so strongly, like, wow, what are the schools he might be considering when it's written that strongly? Either way,
right
whether you believe it or not, a story like a line like that, right? Think about what that does back over there on the Memphis campus, right? Over on South Campus in the Lori Walton Center. If I'm Penny Hardaway and I'm reading this, right, this could, in terms of what's left, you and I both agree, yeah, it's getting bleak in terms of at large, but there's still a chance, right? There's still some season left that whether it's going on a run in the regular season, trying to get an at large, you got three, we don't believe it'll happen, but you got three quad ones left, or having to win the tournament, there's still a lot of season left. And much of it won't just be, John, what's determined on the court, but what sort of next year is going to look like and how the rest of this could go.
I mean, because I'm going to be honest, that's where I'm at. That's where my head's at this point.
Because if you pull the wrong strings, it feels like this thing could really unravel in a way where maybe none of this is sustainable, and maybe it does get real ugly. So I would ask, when that's dropped in, the first thing I'm thinking of, if I'm over it, if I'm one of those players, if I'm Penny Hardaway, is whoa, they're writing that Mike's looking for head jobs right now. You know, when that's written so boldly out there, that can threaten, John, to the little bit of tether you got left around that thing, that can threaten to unravel it even more.
Well, I think you're certainly right when you're talking about a climate like this one, right? When Memphis is losing three in a row.
Lost three in a row.
They got season-ending injuries. I mean, there's obviously a lot of criticism. So let me make two points. One is, any assistant coach worth his weight in salt should be looking for a head coaching job. Nobody wants to be on an assistant, for especially when you have the celebrity and the sort of basketball acumen that Mike Miller would.
Okay.
You're not satisfied with being an assistant coach for your entire life.
Like
he was obviously or mentioned as a candidate for UNLV last year. So there's not a ton of news here, and I think the way that Tim was clearly trying to get a rise out of somebody by writing it the way he did, I don't really know if there's much news there. But I do think the point that you make is the right one, which is this season at this point, it doesn't matter. I mean, it just doesn't matter. Like, whether they make the tournament, whether they make the NIT, whatever, if they make a nice little run in the AAC, the most important obligation and responsibility for Penny Hardaway right now, today, and for the rest of the season is not trying to get to 20 wins or get a top four seed. It's keeping this thing together. It's keeping his staff together. It's keeping the team together. This core that we've talked about, that now is absolutely priority number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's not about this season anymore. It's about what's going to happen after it that is going to determine how the Penny Hardaway era is perceived and is written about.
Well, does what happen after it, is any of that determined at all by, again, some winning and some losing? Because if you keep adding losses to it, is that not gasoline for things to come even more unraveled?
Yeah.
And is that, would you not give
that? I certainly do think that if you finish it on a strong note,
exactly,
that will absolutely help.
If you make the tournament some
miraculous
run.
Yeah, you don't want to go out in flames, exactly. No, winning can hide a lot.
Guys believe, right, and then be less likely to transfer. Absolutely.
Yes.
So in that sense, things do matter. Now, I want to go back to what you said about Thamel. Are you saying there's no news, you believe there's no news here because you don't believe Mike Miller is listening to Job? Because this is the point I would make. Because I think there's a key difference here. You're right. Any assistant coach worth his salt, right, would certainly be looking at opportunities, weighing if they're making calls. Yes, hey, talk to my agent, all that. But this point is lobbying hard for head coaching job, which the way it's written would lead you to believe that's trying to get out, which is a totally different thing, right, than saying an assistant coach is just doing his due diligence, going to be up for some jobs. I mean, Thamel writes it as lobbying hard for head jobs as if you're trying to get out of a situation.
Yeah.
Because you're here at Memphis, and we've laid it out since the spring, you had all this, because so many of those recruits are tied so strongly to Mike.
Oh, there's no question.
Right? If a guy is trying to get out of here, right, rather than just doing his due diligence, well, does he take players with him? Are those players tied to him? So that's why I'm saying this is potential. But with the way it's written, and John, that's my problem with it. It's just so recklessly thrown in there and left up to interpretation of whether you think Mike's trying to bolt.
Right.
Because that's the way that Thamel's got it written. And if that's the case, John, and he's so closely tied to all these recruits like we know he is, those spring guys, Precious, Lester, Boogie, well, that could have a huge impact if he's trying to leave on what stays and how this looks the rest of the way. So I think from that aspect, it's a potential. And that's why I go back to, man, it'd be great to hear from, does Thamel mean he's, right, lobbying hard? Okay. Yes, he's a candidate for jobs, and he's probably going to be ahead of job. Or does that mean he's trying the heck to get out of here?
Well,
because the way it's written, it leads you to believe the latter.
Yeah,
right?
I think,
and it's a little reckless the way it's thrown in there. Again, he doesn't come back with any jobs of what's going to be open, what Mike could be looking at. You know, it's just kind of thrown in there. Again, lobbying hard for head coaching jobs.
Yeah,
and just kind of left up to believe that Mike's trying to get out. When I mean, does anybody get that sense?
That's.
Like, that had never been written, that Mike's trying to get. And again, maybe I'm misinterpreting it, but Thamel leaves that up to interpretation, which shouldn't be the case either.
Well, I think.
Does that make any sense?
Well, like, again, what because, does it mean
because
what you're
that,
writing?
So that threatens to divide everything.
Yeah, if there's two different things.
If Mike's trying openly behind the scenes to get out.
Well, I would. I would make the argument I would make the argument that trying to get out doesn't necessarily mean getting a head coaching job. Right, like when I think about like getting out, that's like just maybe quitting altogether, or
think about if you'd read that Mike Norvell was lobbying hard to get out of Memphis, right? In the way you would have taken that, no, Mike, you know, was going to handle it the right way. They come calling, right? You talk to my agent. I'm going to try to tell the truth as much as I can.
Yeah,
try to not get caught in a Mel Tucker situation where I tell the folks I'm staying,
right,
and then I leave, right? Think about how you'd have said what. Mike's already, well, that's going to come. Let that happen, Mike. No, you don't openly lobby for a job behind the scenes. Well, this is a case where they've literally laid your assistant coach out right in front of his head coach as if he's trying to get out from under him. Again, I go back to, I'm not on Mike here at all. I'm on Thamel for the way that's written and left up to believe that. If I'm Penny Hardaway, the first thing I'm doing when I read that is calling Mike saying, what's up with this?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure Mike's like, I don't know where Thamel got it. Because, again, you don't back it up at all. So again,
it's just kind of thrown in,
just like 40's comment. Now, I believe, look, 40 dropped that in there for a reason. Remember 40's line from his column about how
there was another thing that 40 did that we didn't touch on.
And these lines are just dropped in there. And I'm telling you, these national writers just to John's point, they were sort of in a boat when Penny was hired that this, look, you guys did Tubby wrong. This is classless, right? That are coming back now, sort of doing these roosters, you know, they've come back home to roost here type thing, and you're dropping these lines in here that could further threaten to blow it up. When in fact, John, you're right. Right now, Penny should be trying to keep this whole thing together because that may be the way to, especially.
It is.
especially right if guys are so aligned with Mike that they might leave if he's going to get a job. I bristled up when I read that because again I'm looking for what jobs would be open, right?
Yeah.
The fact that he just throws that in there as if it's fact. You threaten to destroy not just now and heck, you know what's going on with those players and threatening to throw a schism in it right now, but maybe the future of this thing.
Continuity is.
Is that an overreaction? I just didn't. Again, I there's a huge impact potentially mm-hmm.
Sure.
Well, especially we know how sort of fragile it is over there right now, like with all the losing that's going on and all the sort of.
We've always thought that Mike. I mean, we've even talked to Windhorst about this, and he's great NBA, great candidate to be a front office guy there.
Yep.
Right. We've always thought Mike in college, again, whether it's Florida or somewhere else, is going to be a head coach, right? But it's never openly been said,
yep.
right, that he's lobbying hard for a head coaching job behind the scenes. Like, that's never, and again, if that had been said about some other coach, right, we'd go, what? And so, again, I was floored by the way that was written and then sort of not backed up, left up to interpretation.
So continuity, and this is not like some big groundbreaking statement, but continuity is going to be Memphis basketball's best friend over the next 4 months, right? Losses
don't help with continuity. That's why I'm saying still some of this what matters on the court still matter a bit, I would think.
So that's the most important thing for the next, whether it's 2020, whether it's – and I even think there's going to have to be recruiting done on this roster. I mean, there has to be always – again, how many times can we go to that stat? 1 in 3 college basketball players transfer. It's actually a little bit more now. And so there's definitely going to have to be some you have to recruit every year to your own roster. So that will have to happen. I mean, that's the reality. And then 2020 as well. Jalen Green and Greg Brown is sort of what this boils down to. So continuity is going to be Memphis's best friend. And whether Penny Hardaway can keep the gang together, keep the band together, I think that's going to say a lot. That's going to say a lot about the future of the program, the climate of the program, and how successful it can be right over the next 3 to 4 years. So certainly an interesting column by Pete Thamel. The good news for Memphis is that they're probably about to win a game. Like they're gonna probably win a game.
East Carolina coming at the right time.
No, East Carolina did push Cincinnati for a hot minute. I think they went
at
to overtime.
It was a 3-point game, I think, in overtime since he got the win.
But Memphis should be able to take care of business.
You hope so.
They need it bad, bro. They need a win.
It's a big
bad.
One with Houston this weekend.
All right, we will talk to George Sedano about the NBA All-Star Game when we come back. His thoughts on the game itself, the fourth quarter, the dunk contest. Lots to get to when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Chevrolet put 100 years of truck-building know-how into the next-generation Chevy Silverado. The result? You get the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever, offering the choice of 8 models with bold styling and distinct personalities, plus the most functional bed of any pickup, best-in-class front head and legroom, and available advanced trailering technology, including more camera views than any other truck. The 2020 Chevy Silverado, available now at your Mid-South Chevy dealers. Right now, well-qualified buyers can get a 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500 with 0% financing for 72 months when you finance with GM Financial. Class's half-ton, full-size pickup segment. Some customers may not qualify. Monthly payment is $13.89 for every 1,000 you finance. Example down payment, 5.6%. Not available with lease and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 3-2-2020. Visit Jim Kara Chevrolet, your Mid-South Chevy dealer.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Finally, I get what I really want to drive and get it at a wholesale price. My tax refund is all I need. Wholesale Unlimited on Pleasant View has the best SUVs and trucks and every car you could want. Jeeps, Tahoes, Escalades, 4Runners, Silverados, Rams, and F-150s. They even have layaway plans so you can get your car or truck today. I saw wholesale prices at just $5,000, and Wholesale Unlimited has a lot of them. Wholesale priced at just $10,000 or even less than that. Mustang convertibles, Mercedes, Infinity, BMW, Lexus, Camaros, Camrys, Maximas, Hyundais, and Hondas. That's why they call it Wholesale Unlimited. A little money goes a long way when you buy cars and trucks at wholesale, and the tax refund makes it even better. You can see them all online at WUCars.com. That's WUCars.com. Or just Google Wholesale Unlimited and find what you want. Go to Pleasant View just off Covington Pike today. Tell them you heard about it on WMFS. You can thank me later.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air, here with my sales manager, Derek. Derek, did your granddaddy ever tell you nothing in life is free?
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
There's no such thing as a free furnace either. When you think of heating and air, think Best Care. No gimmicks, no hassles. Call us today for a free estimate at 624-1401. That's 624-1401. We are your hometown choice for plumbing, heating, and air, and a proud partner of the Memphis Tigers.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's Sports Station 92.9 FM, ESPN.
George Sedano is all over ESPN. You can catch him on ESPN LA, ESPN TV, Around the Horn, The Jump, NBA Sidelines. He joins us now. George, what's going on, man? Thanks for the time.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you? Sorry, I was a little late. I apologize.
Oh, no sweat, man. We know you're on Pacific time there. We appreciate the time, as always. Yes. So, the game last night, I mean, rarely have we seen Twitter come together almost unanimously as we did last night. What was the best part of the game to you?
Oh, I mean, the fourth quarter. I think they nailed it. Like, it was a rousing success because we saw guys actually competing. Now, we've seen some of that before, but it happens so rarely that we sit there and we, like, marvel at it. But not like this. We haven't seen guys compete like this in a fourth quarter since the 90s. Like, this is – it was a long time coming. And I made the joke on Twitter yesterday that we know it feels like a real game when guys are vehemently complaining to the officials during the game.
Or Kyle Lowry's trying to take charges, right? Like, that's not going to happen in a regular All-Star game, right?
Right. Well, here's the funny thing. I had the Raptors Pacers back on February 7th, I believe, which was not this past Friday, but the previous Friday. And Kyle told me, man, I've never won an All-Star game. Like, I've been in five and haven't won.
Oh, wow.
And I want to win, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. And when he said that, I kind of just chuckled, and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then I watched him, and I'm like, man, he wasn't lying. He really was doing everything he could to try to win that game.
The question I've been asking is how much, in terms of sustainability, right, and keeping it that intense, especially there at the end, how much of that is Elam ending and you can sort of keep that going, and how much of it was because everybody obviously in the shadow of this Kobe thing wanted to go out there and perform well and be competitive, especially in this first one? Like, can you keep it this intense, and how much of it was because of what's happened with Kobe?
Well, I think it's a combination of those things. I do think that there was the emotions of the night, but I do think ultimately that this had more to do with their own competitive juices and competitive fire than anything else. So, yeah, I think that when you put yourself in a position where the game was relatively close through three quarters, like within, you know, whatever it was, 10, 11 points, I think it allows the other team to feel like they've got a shot. And the Elam ending gives you, again, because you have that target score, you're like, oh, that's not as insurmountable as we thought. Because if you had to play the whole 12 minutes, you know, there's so many ebbs and flows to a 12-minute quarter that you can feel like, oh, man, you can make a run, but then you run out of gas. But here you could literally see the finish line. So I do think that mentally that helps the guys.
It's one small problem to what was an otherwise amazing, compelling, entertaining game. But for that game, as dramatic and as intense as it was to end at the free throw line, like, they got to change that, right? I don't know how you do it, but, like, I feel like that was something that deserved a better ending than just Anthony Davis, a professional basketball player, making free throws.
I mean, in theory, yes, but it's funny. So I had a friend of mine who texted me that exact same sentiment as Anthony Davis was fouled. He's like, ending on free throws, question mark. And he's like, maybe you got to tweak that. I'm like, I don't know. It could be drama. Maybe he misses. And, of course, as soon as I hit send, he misses the free throw. So I get your point. You probably don't want it to end that way. But, look, it's not like free throws are a given by any stretch of the imagination. Like, Anthony Davis missed that first one pretty badly, I thought. And he's a really good free throw shooter, so you could potentially tweak that. I hear you on that, but I think it was still a rousing success regardless.
How much of Giannis is this is just him too, right? Like you've seen him too in All-Star games. Like he takes it seriously, but you get the sense, and you heard it sort of in his words, right? And maybe even in his player selections. Like he wants to be the best. And in all of this time, we've been talking about Kobe and sort of how he was like Mike. I just get the feeling, George, that Giannis has that DNA in him, man, that he's not going to stop that sort of dog until he's referred to as the and renowned as the best in the world.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, he
it's amazing.
He said it himself, right? Like where he doesn't like necessarily want to be friendly with guys and work out with guys in the off season. Like that is kind of who he is. I do think though that for Giannis, it's going to be fascinating to see what goes on the next couple of years, right? Because not only from an individual game perspective, but from a team perspective. Because let's look at this season. If the Bucks come up short, the Bucks can offer him an extension this season. Does mm-hmm. he sign it? Does he not sign it? Like, a lot is riding on Giannis's sure. future here this offseason in a lot of ways. And then, of course, the following season when he could potentially be a free agent. So, to your point, yes, I think that his drive is probably really only comparable to someone like a Kobe, even like a LeBron or Michael Jordan, those type of guys. But I think that because of that, I am curious to see what happens if his team comes up short again.
We are, of course, talking to George Dono from ESPN. Okay, I know you're a Miami guy, so I'm preface this, but I mean, come on. I mean, Aaron Gordon is the only guy who has...
Oh, don't even start.
He has five perfect scores.
Let's start here. He shouldn't have had perfect scores because let's do this. He did the same dunk as Derrick Jones Jr.
You're the only person making
this
point. Yep, you're the only person making this point today. I thought that. Yep, I'm glad you are. That
he
copied
did the
one of Derrick's
dunk and
dunks.
It wasn't as good. Like Derrick Jones Jr. got penalized for making it look too easy. and the other part of it is this: the Taco Fall dunk. He didn't jump over Taco Fall. Taco Fall needs like a neck brace today because it must have felt like he was in a car accident.
that's extreme, but your point is made in a neck brace.
My question, George, would be: does this? I mean, we already know the dunk contest is kind of in an awkward spot, right? Like John Moran here in Memphis doesn't want to play in it. Zion Williamson's not playing in it. Does it even more hurt the credibility of the dunk contest?
No, man, come on. That's excessive. Like, I thought the dunk – people were literally, up until the end, tweeting. We mentioned about how Twitter is rarely in unison. They were literally tweeting that this is like a top three dunk contest of all time. So, I mean, I feel like the dunk contest is fine. I'd like to see Ja Morant compete in it. I'd like to see more guys compete in it. I'd like to see more Ja Morant, period. I want to see as much Ja Morant as possible. So hopefully he'll reconsider because I think he's one of the – look, I think right now he's already a top five point guard in the NBA. And, what he's been able to do for you guys is just out of this world. And you guys have a nice team there that I think will be a team to contend with. Like, we may have – it's crazy to think, and this is exactly what the NBA needs. You're going to have – and I know you guys hate hearing this, right? But two small market teams like New Orleans and Memphis causing all sorts of havoc for a really long time because they have the two best young prospects that we've had in the NBA in a very long time.
You know, 538 and all these analytical sites you see are now giving the Grizzlies a chance. You know, it used to be, hey, Portland's going to come back, look at the schedule. Hey, Pelicans have got the easiest schedule. They're going to overtake. Are you a guy that believes we'll see first round, whether it's the Lakers or whatever, that the Grizzlies will be there? They've got the toughest schedule the rest of the way. That should be said.
Yeah, I do think the Grizzlies have a much better chance now, mostly because Dame is going to be out for a couple of weeks, right? And you can ill afford that at this particular juncture of the season. Like, I know people think it's the halfway point. It's really not the halfway point. We're like at almost two-thirds of the season at this point. We're closer to that than we are the halfway point. So, yeah, I like Memphis's chances. Look, I want to do a Memphis playoff game. I am ready to be on the sidelines for a Memphis playoff game because I know you guys had one ESPN game earlier this year. I wasn't on that particular game in November. But I want to do a game because I want to see Ja up close and up front. I haven't been able to see him yet. And every time I watch him on television, it's like must-watch TV.
George, I'm not going to lie, and I think you're a little bit more tuned into this, having been a Miami guy, but Bam Adebayo, you saw it in the skills challenge. Like, how much more is there to him in terms of his game and what he can – I'm not saying he's going to be a guy that's going to step out and hit three-pointers, but – he is just not a rebounder athlete like I think many of us thought he was going to be when he got in the league. There is a lot to love there about Bam.
Oh, yeah.
My
Look,
goodness.
They do think he can hit threes. I jokingly sent a message to Eric Spoelstra on Twitter, and perhaps I may have sent one behind the scenes, too, that, hey, man, he's showing some range. Maybe you
like
should let him
guard.
Take some of those during the game.
Man.
But I do know during practice, he hits them from the corners all the time. Now, granted, a lot of guys hit him in practice, but you're right. He has basically morphed into what today's center will need to be. It needs to be more than shot blocking, rebounding, setting screens, rolling to the rim, which he does all those things magnificently. But he's a great passer. He's really one of the focal points of their dribble handoff offense. Like, he averages, I think last month he was averaging like 5 assists a game or something ridiculous like that. We haven't seen a lot of centers do that. Obviously, Jokic does it, right? Arvydas Sabonis back in the day did it. Sure. Marcus Gasol obviously was a guy who was capable of that. And I think he has some of that in him, and we're only really scratching the surface with it.
He looks great.
The other news from the weekend, George, was that John Beilein is very well nearing the end of his time with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Hasn't even lasted, you know, two-thirds of a season. What is the lesson here? I know there are, like, when you hire John Beilein, you probably do so with, like, these grand visions of teaching and passing on your knowledge, but for whatever reason, it didn't take. What's the lesson here for GMs and NBA owners across the league?
Well, first, don't be the Cavs, who have hired now 6 coaches in 7 seasons, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's an organizational failure in a lot of ways. And by the way, in those 7 seasons, 4 of them, they went to the finals. Let's not forget that. And they still changed coaches. So I think there's an organizational failure there. But the other thing is this. You're right. In theory, it makes sense. But he didn't have just young guys on the team. When you have veteran guys like Kevin Love, who you knew probably wanted out, it probably wasn't going to be a good mix. And I think that if you're going to hire the college coach, it needs to feel like it's someone who can truly connect to players. And look, we've seen it with Billy Donovan, right? Now, all of a sudden, Billy Donovan is getting a lot more love than he used to previously. Brad Stevens. I'm not trying to be an ageist, but I do think that there needs to be some connection point with players, and it's harder for a guy in his 60s who's used to being, for lack of a better phrase, right, like the end-all be-all, right, a dictator per se, like it's his way or the highway, as opposed to a guy who can be more collaborative. It seems like it's harder for me as you get older to be more collaborative than it would be for a younger coach like a Billy Donovan when he came in or a Brad Stevens.
You're exactly right, because he's not like these guys on the Cavaliers roster are not going to look at him when he comes in and says, man, I just really love what you did at Michigan. I have such great – I mean, that's just not the real world, you know, in the NBA. So I definitely do think that's very valid. Hey, George, man, we appreciate
Thank
the
you
time,
for this,
as always, man. Thank you.
You got it, brothers. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Yep. He is George Sedano. You can catch him on ESPN, on The Jump, Around the Horn, sidelines on ESPN NBA games, and more.
Usually got the turtleneck with a jacket on, kind of like Dwayne Wade was rocking this weekend. You ever go with that look, John?
No. That's
it was one of my go-tos back in high school.
Yeah, I think some looks are better left there. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Dwayne, it wouldn't be rocking it, much less George Sedano, if it wasn't back and in.
Yes.
And the look I like to go, that's coming back.
Let's be honest.
Fashion is cyclical.
John Beilein's time as the Cavaliers head coach ended the day that we talked about that story, which was thugs versus slugs and pugs and drugs and whatever the hell he said. That's when his...
Should we have seen this coming?
Yes.
The fault is with the Cavs more so than with anything John Beilein's doing because, again, you give a job to a man who's just looking to check something off the bucket list, right? That's you're doing him the favor. What about your franchising going forward in the future? Like, this was it was what we said it was going to be. He's going to have a hard time relating to players, and at some point it could get so bad that the players turn on him. Well, that's what's happened. I mean, you talk about literally you could see this thing coming from a mile away, and it's if you're Beilein, I imagine he's miserable. Probably thinks about being the coach in Michigan all the time, and why did I leave that? It's just the ultimate lesson of grass ain't always greener. And if you get to the end and you think, you know what, I just need to prove it at the NBA, you don't need to prove anything. You're a king in college. Enjoy that. There's a reason why Izzo and some of these guys have stayed where they're staying because of how good it is. There's no reason. You don't need to go prove it to anyone or to yourself. Like, you're a great coach at the level you're at. You understand what I'm saying?
I thought what George said was kind of interesting. It's a different skill set in a lot of ways, the coaching at that level.
Yeah, because you're not raising boys anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're
not managing the same way.
You're trying to get grown men who, in many cases, got more money than you to do what you want them to
do.
Exactly. A lot of cases with the way you're coming across, you start calling them slugs and thugs. It's not going to resonate. And so, again, you got the old school trying to teach the new school, and it's not going to work here.
You know, you're coming in as a 67-year-old, you know, who's never done it.
And who's not going to change to that point. Like, it'd be different if you were Brad Stevens. You're young, and you can still adjust, right? You got time, and you feel like you don't know it all. Well, Beilein knows one way. It's his way. And again, how inclined are you going to be to change what you've done at that point in your career?
No, I think it's a little bit like the Tubby Smith situation,
fault Cleveland,
right?
Though.
Yeah, like it's more
just like you more fault Memphis.
Exactly, for thinking that you were going to get a guy who's going to change
Tubby's
his ways.
Tubby's going to come in here and change. No, Tubby's going to be Tubby.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why it was just a bad hire from the jump. It was a bad fit, much like this was. Again, I don't know. I get what Beilein was doing. You're challenging yourself, even though he shouldn't have. Right, but it was Cleveland doing this and thinking this represented a good future, which is the most ridiculous.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll get into the All-Star game, our thoughts on that, the dunk contest, and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Coming up on Tuesday, 70 wins for the Bucks, top seed for the Lakers, and all the second-half stories from the NBA, plus the latest from Major League Baseball and the quarterback carousel. Tuesday on Golic and Wingo.
The Golic and Wingo Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookston, the owner, has won 8 world championships, so she sets the standard high. Ribs are cooked multiple times per day to give guests fresh from the cooker quality, and when you order a pulled pork sandwich, the pork is hand-pulled right then and not a moment earlier. If you've been to Memphis Barbecue Company, you know it's legit. If you haven't been, go. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Hey, it's Jason from 92.9 FM ESPN. I'm really loving these new 5-Hour Energy flavors, strawberry, banana, and tropical burst. Zero sugar, 4 calories, and they're both delicious. Try them both, then go online to the number 5hewin.com to vote for your favorite. That's the number 5hewin.com. You could be on the go to an exciting tropical paradise. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18 and over. Contest ends July 31st, 2020. For entry and rules, visit the number 5hewin.com. Void where prohibited.
20 ribeyes for $30 at 3 locations in Memphis right now. For a limited time, hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare 5-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall right now. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steaks, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breasts. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent and truck in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall at the Highway 64 entrance and at the South Haven Town Center in front of JCPenney's across from Fox and Hounds. And also look for the big tent in the parking lot of Oak Court Mall directly in front of the food court on Poplar Street. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, New York strips, fillets, bacon wrap fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30. 3 locations in Memphis, open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall.
Capital One presents a 30-second audio tour of Ireland. Sheep, fairies, golf, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know you can actually go there when you use the Capital One Venture Card. You earn unlimited double miles on every dollar you spend on every purchase, which means you'll have plenty of miles to actually travel to Ireland. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA N.A.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions.
like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. Indeed will also give you this sticky frog, which will suddenly leap and stick to the face of the perfect hire. Okay, there's no sticky frog. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers three times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
Enjoy an array of hot and healthy dishes with today's Berks deal. $25 to Humdinger's Restaurant for only $15. With entrees built around freshly grilled fish, chicken, and vegetables. Get yours at GetMyBerks.com.
Hurt? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's
no.
all.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Took your girl and I'm scoring like I made the touchdown. Swerving in a Lambo, doors go up, not on the bus now. Used to want a G-Shock, now I'm walking with a bus down. Pull up and I'm flooded with an iced out watch.
Head on over to the Wing Guru, get yourself some love. Lunch. About that time of day, you can't do any better. You're getting lunch in Memphis, Tennessee, or in South Haven, Mississippi now, other than heading on over to the Wing Guru. That's where Billy Richmond, the former Tiger basketball player, is doing up the best wings in town. Party, whole boneless. We were there on Friday for the ribbon cutting at the South Haven location. It was packed. And it's packed because Billy's got the best wings with the best premium flavors. Ain't that right, John?
Congrats to Mississippi. They have just never experienced anything like this before. I can promise you that. Those flavors are unbelievable. They got the garlic sriracha, the spicy taco, 901. But, and that's just the beginning. But it's also that gourmet burger, Jason. Fried green tomato. I mean, it's just, there's a whole entire menu to explore at the Wing Guru.
Absolutely. Try some of that fried okra. Try some of that catfish. It's all good. It ain't just the wings down at the Wing Guru. Billy's a guru when it comes to food, period. And again, now you can do it over at 7090 Malco Road in South Haven, Mississippi. That's to go with his location at 5699 Mount Moriah. That's to go with his location at 7199 Stage Road. Now three locations, more coming soon. Kaimel, you're up next. We'll tell you about all that when it happens. For right now, when you see Billy Richmond, you just tell him that Jason and John sent you.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. So, you know that I am anti All-Star things. I don't watch the Pro Bowl. I don't watch any baseball, whether it's playoff baseball, whether it's all, whatever they do, the home run. I don't watch any.
I'm going to stop watching baseball and the mess it's in.
Until they can figure out their lives, I'm done watching baseball. I'm so sick of this as a baseball fan. I've been watching for my entire life, and I can't do it anymore, man, because there's just no integrity in that sport. So I don't watch anything all-star related. Mm. But I remembered just before it started last night, that I didn't watch any of the first three quarters. I'll admit, I did not watch any of this.
They were decent.
Yeah. Was it like intense or was it still kind of
not
the same
as intense
thing?
As the fourth?
Yeah.
It almost felt like almost too that, hey, LeBron won first quarter, Giannis
exactly,
going to win second. Almost,
yeah,
almost felt like that a little bit.
Because
and then they tied in the third, so the money carried over
to
the fourth.
So I wouldn't doubt that at all, right? I wouldn't doubt that at all. So I remember just before the fourth quarter started that they were doing this new ending. And listen, if you ever played pickup basketball, basically what the Elam ending is every pickup basketball game that's ever been played, there is a target score, and whoever hits it first wins the game. I think in pickup basketball in Memphis, it's 11. That's usually what I would play to. And if we're playing by ones and twos. Playing by twos and threes, 24 is the
Is that the going rate in 2020?
That's
pretty much what it was back in the day.
I haven't played basketball in a long time, But and then 32, if you really feel like, I mean, just going balls to the wall, 32.
So your tights are just sitting there in the closet sad.
Man, sad as hell. Now, I might whip them out tonight. You might be able to catch me in action at Woodland tonight. And I'm going to cut off one leg for
man,
you.
Man, take a picture for us
for
that,
sure.
If you will.
I'm going to cut off one leg.
So we can send that thing out to the people.
It's going
to
be like the NBA tights. You know, sometimes the compression tights, they just have one leg.
I didn't see Ja wearing any one-legged tights, bro.
There are.
One leg.
I feel
that's
like
tough.
Jason Tatum, I think, wears one leg. I have to check on it. But anyway,
his game.
I remembered right before the fourth quarter started that this was going to be a new ending, the Elam ending. And I think in every way, like, I obviously, as you know and have heard, I took issue with the way it ended, but whatever, that's a minor thing. It was unbelievable.
It was. And you're right. I mean, overall,
I guess with Anthony Davis there at the free throw line, it felt a little weird to be determining it there, and the game ends literally. But he missed the first one, which added to a little drama in terms of the second one. So there was even a little bit there. It did feel weird, though. I'm with John. I don't know if I'd tweak that, if that's the end-all, be-all. But it did feel weird winning it at the free throw line. Something that was that intense down the stretch. I think that's his point there, is that literally you had refs arguing about the calls. Hey, we're going to go with jump ball. We're going to go with foul here because it was that it got that intense. How's this going to be decided? And again, obviously you had players arguing with refs. That only happens if you want to win bad. And it only happens typically in most cases if you've got that final score. So you know what if you don't get the call, you know what it represents, that you're probably not going to get there. So Elam ending, perfect. And it's awesome that they went to TBT, which LeBron couldn't even remember the name of after the All-Star game last night, to give the credit to for the Elam inning. He's like, what's that summer tournament? What's that y'all know? And somebody had to shoot it back at him that this was TBT and the Elam ending. I think even Calkins was talking about it. He's had the Elam guy on the air before.
Yes.
Well, the thing worked out, and it was good for it, and Chris Paul was the one that actually suggested it, that they do it. So it was fantastic. The other thing I actually liked, too, was the addition of the three-point shot. And not to get totally away from this one, because we can come back to it, but the addition of the three-point shot, we're talking about rules changes, addition of the three-point shot to the three-point contest. And I'm speaking of that 30-foot shot that they added. That added another cool wrinkle to it. And I say all that to say this. From the end of that All-Star game all the way back through to Friday in the Rising Stars Challenge, it was pretty intense throughout, including that three-point contest that had Buddy Hield beating out Booker there at the end, and they're all running and screaming. That one was even good. So for the majority of the weekend, I take John's point, I thought was fantastic, and that started Friday night with a fantastic Rising Stars Challenge where you saw of
the future.
You saw the future of the league. Yep. I was trying to say that last week when I was, you got 5, 6, 7 All-Stars, maybe more in that game.
And they all play for the Grizzlies. That's the amazing thing. Like all seven All-Stars.
And at one point, they were all on one side of the lane together. That was fun, though, to see Brandon go out there and get the 22 points, start, I think had the second most points for the world team. And then to see what, Ja sort of, him and Zion, just that connection that they've obviously already got. Like Ja said, he says it's easy. You just got to throw it up.
Yeah.
But it ain't easy to go under your legs on an alley-oop and get it over there. And you see Zion, he catches it and then, bends the rim. We were seeing things. And then, look, some people didn't like this. I had a conversation with someone Saturday morning at lunch that didn't particularly like the way it ended. But with that Rising Stars game, we saw what we wanted to see on Saturday night, quite frankly, which was Ja and Zion get their chances with everybody stopped to go in there and go freestyle on that rim in terms of a dunk contest. So I don't know if you saw it, John, but basically the last 30, 40 seconds, minute became that. And even though they all missed, which was unfortunate, like every guy that tried it missed, dude, there was a sort of holding of there was a sucking in of the breath as you watch Zion go to that rim and Ja Morant go to that rim. And you've even seen some of the pictures. Ja tried to go behind the back with it. But we got our, sort of what we hope one day to see in terms of a dunk contest. We got that at the end of the Rising Stars Challenge. It was fantastic, the All-Star Weekend all the way through.
Now, I do have a question on the game itself. Late in the game, James Harden could have ended it on a layup. He instead passed it out to, I think it was Chris Paul.
Yeah, I was telling my son that they don't need a three. Why is James Harden acting like they need to win this game on
Why
a three?
Why did he do
Just
that?
Just take the two, and then you can get the one later on. You can get the other shot.
You know what I thought?
I thought they wanted to end it with a three and make it dramatic, John, so they could appease the guys like you that would end it like that on a highlight as opposed to
that
a free
throw. That just looked like all-star shenanigans.
Again, naturally,
the layup would have won the game.
It would. No. I'm pretty sure at that point.
No, it was 150. I'm looking at the video. It was 156-155. The target score was 156, and he passed it up for that reason. Though, like he wanted to end
that
it flashily.
Shot.
Well, I saw the same thing. I think it was instinctual the way that Houston is running that kick-out offense.
I mean, you win the game.
No, but watch their offense. He wasn't thinking about the score like the All-Star game. I think he was. It just that's what he does. Watch them.
Well,
play
that's just horrible basketball.
No,
to pass
I know
a friggin'
it's
layup. I mean,
they do it all the time in Houston.
Well, they were actually calling fouls on James, offensive fouls on James Harden.
They were,
which is different for his entire career. He doesn't typically get that in a regular NBA game.
But I hope I'm not one of those guys who says adopt this for actual games because I think there are just too many.
Are you kidding me?
There are people out there who believe that I don't know how many there are, but there are some who say this is how it should be.
It's a good thing for All-Star games in terms of increasing the intensity level. That's what it's good for.
Yes, need a clock.
Thank you.
Because, these dudes could be playing. I don't know if you ever played with a bunch of.
They can go on forever.
Have you ever played a basketball game with a bunch of unathletic, slow, white dudes, man? A game to 12 takes 2.5 hours, okay? Now, again, I know we're not talking about
folks
that
not
here.
Scoring.
But I mean, this
just sweating.
It's going to be
scoring,
it's going to be intense, right? You're gonna, I mean, dude, how many missed shots were there in that game in that fourth quarter? A ton.
That's what I'm saying.
Kemba had like 18 missed shots by himself.
The calls fought about. You're just going to go back and forth. It's going to be like a real pickup game where it gets sloppy and nasty.
Walk into any LA Fitness right now, you're going to see that.
Be arguing about the foul.
Ugh.
Respect
exactly.
my foul call.
Yeah. Now, what's your philosophy on the respecting the foul call? Like, are you the guy who, if somebody calls it, you give it to them, or do you dispute? Do you argue?
My whole thing is, y'all are playing at Woodland and the Y.
Yeah.
Let him have the foul call.
Why?
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I agree.
Because, again, is it important
enough
that when a brother says foul, we're going to take it. Show me the evidence. Like, it's a game at the Y and at Woodland. That's what I'm saying. It ain't determining anything except whether or not you're going to stay hot and wear the tights a second consecutive day when you go back. That's literally the only thing that's determining.
Now,
y'all ain't going anywhere off these games. So respect the foul call.
Now, did you call foul when you played? Were you one of those guys who – I very rarely will call a foul.
Very rarely. I come – again, John, when you come up playing 21 like we did.
Yeah, there is no foul.
There is no foul call.
It's like it's prison out there.
It's tough out there. So you don't go in there needing – you know, you could tell the folks that didn't play 21 coming up.
Yeah.
Because you touch them on the finger, they want the foul call.
Yeah.
And again, just give it to him because that brother, it's too important to him. Just give him the foul card. What, you going to argue with him?
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Let me tell you who would be really cold at 21. Boogie Ellis. Boogie Ellis would be cold at 21 because he gets so many damn rebounds. It's ridiculous.
Well, like, he only had five. But,
21,
but to your
but
point,
for his height,
you and I both
know?
Like the way he rebounds for his size. Yeah.
Because like,
reminds me of Will Barton. Like, he goes up and gets it. He ain't scared.
The most important thing about 21, obviously, is scoring. But second to that is being able to rebound the ball in a group of, you know, three to four guys, you know.
Well, the problem is they need another forward rebounding it, not just their guards. That is really the issue for Memphis.
Presh the Chua would also be very good at 21.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.